love on the lip tour greens where dreams rise above balls deep swingers they're taking the scene with big sticks and bogey boys living the dream lip pods the sound where the stories are told eureka's and two ballers going for gold regular flex and shanks it's quite the hook grab a seat tune in let's take a closer look
welcome you deep dive enthusiasts and certainly golf aficionados. You can almost feel it, can't you? That crisp morning air, the smell of the fairway. We're teeing off into the LIB Tour's June Stableford, played out on the, well, let's just say challenging Red Libbets golf course.
Absolutely. A beautiful setting, but one that demands respect.
It really does. So let's get into it. We're picking up the action just after the first three holes. The early skirmishes on the front nine are already shaping up.
Okay, who's out fast?
Greg Hammond. Sit him pretty early on, minus two. Rock solid start, pars on one and three.
Strong, reliable.
Right on his tail, tied second at minus one, the current club champion, Danny Innes. He laid down a marker with a birdie on the very first hole.
Showing his class early. Also, T2 at minus one were Kelvin Monroe and Chris O'Donoghue.
Yeah, a few players starting well.
Yeah.
But it wasn't all smooth sailing, was it?
No, definitely not. Paul Woody, he had a particularly tough start. Double bogey on one, then bogeys on two and three. That's a rough introduction.
It really is. Already battling the course. And Anthony Elisak, the man they said came back from the dead last week. Well, he had an uphill climb from the get-go.
Oof. Yeah. A blob 0 points on the first, then a triple bogey on two. Suddenly he's at plus two after three holes. That's a big hole to dig out of.
It is. And we should mention Malk Dami and Suki Saran. It was his birthday. They were also finding it tough early on.
All right. So individual battles unfolding. How about the teams after three?
Interestingly, a four-way tie at the top, minus 3 points, balls deep, big sticks, regular flex, and shanks and big hook, all level.
Okay. So tightly packed and bringing up the rear.
Well, perhaps appropriately, the bogey boys were in last place early on.
Yeah. Living up to the name, perhaps. But look, this is Stableford at Red Libbets. Things change fast. Let's jump forward to the six-hole mark.
And what a change. Massive movement. The big story, Anthony Elisak.
From that nightmare start?
I wouldn't believe it. He leaped 12 positions all the way up to tied first at minus one.
Wow. How did he manage that?
A steadying par on four, followed by a brilliant birdie on six. Mm-hmm. That is the magic of Stableford right there.
It really is. You can absorb a blow like that blob on one and still fight back because the damage is limited on any single hole. Unlike stroke play where one disaster can just wreck your card, it rewards that bounce back ability.
He wasn't the only one making moves. David Washer, Dish, also jumped up to T1 with a par on five.
Okay, so Elisak and Dish leading after six. What about our early leader, Hammond?
He took a hit, a triple bogey on the fifth hole, dropped him back to even par. T3 shows how quickly things can swing.
It does indeed. And poor Woody.
Oh, Woody. The struggle continued. Another double bogey on four and then a triple bogey on five. Just couldn't seem to find his rhythm.
When you see that happening, that run of bad holes early, how much is just bad luck versus the mental side? Does it snowball?
I think it has to be a bit of both, right? But the mental game is huge. One bad shot leads to pressing, leads to another. And it's tough to stop that slide sometimes.
Definitely. Okay, team situation after six.
Regular flex pulled ahead. Took the sole lead at minus three.
So they break that four-way tie.
Yep. Behind them, big sticks, Eureka's and Shanks, and Big Hook were all tied for second at even par. Parity returning a bit there. Balls deep drop back to plus one.
Okay, so on to the turn. Nine holes completed. Now we start to get a maybe clearer picture.
I think so. And Anthony Elisak, he was holding strong. Still leading, now at minus three after pars on 7 and 9. What a front nine for him, considering the start.
Incredible recovery. Anyone else making a charge?
Terry Hare, Hitman Hare. Made a nice move, jumped three spots to T2 at even par, thanks to a par on the ninth.
Good solid play paying off.
And how about Steve Dixon?
Yeah.
Dicko. A massive leap, 11 positions, up to T4 at plus one. Key was a birdie on hole seven.
Wow, 11 spots, that's finding form.
Paul Salvage also climbing nicely, up into the top 10 at T8. But the back nine, it sometimes bites back, doesn't it?
It often does. Who slipped?
David Washer, Dish, and Paul Woody. They both dropped back. Double bogeys on 8 and 9 respectively meant they made the turn at plus three. Just not their front nine.
A tough finish to the front for them. And the team's at the halfway house.
Another big shift. Eurekas, captained by Terry Hare, and two ballers, led by our leader Anthony Elisak, were now tied for the lead at even par.
Interesting. So the individual leaders' teams are now the team leaders.
Exactly. And regular Flex, who led after six, they dropped way back to seventh place at plus three.
Shows how volatile it is. A couple bad holes for one or two players on a team, and boom, you slide down the board.
The margins are razor thin. And speaking of challenges, the back nine at Red Libbets, the pressure really ramps up, and there's one hole in particular. Hole 11. Tell us about that beast.
Ah, hole 11, yes. It's a monster. Par 4, but crucially, it's stroke index 1.
Meaning
statistically, it's the hardest hole in the entire golf course. The one where, historically, players score the highest relative to par.
And the stats from this tournament back that up.
Oh, absolutely. Players averaged a bruising 5.8 strokes on that par 4. Nearly two shots over par on average. It is a potential round wrecker.
For what makes it so tough? Is it length, hazards, the green?
Usually a combination, length, perhaps some strategically placed bunkers or water, maybe a tricky green complex. It just demands precision and often a bit of luck.
Okay, so after navigating or trying to navigate the early part of the back nine, including that beast on 11, where did things stand after 12 holes?
Well, Anthony Elisak was still leading, still at minus three, showed amazing composure because he actually had a double bogey on 10. To bounce back from that and still lead, impressive.
Except his nerve, who was chasing?
Greg Hammond was right there, close behind at minus two, keeping the pressure firmly on.
And Danny Innes, the club champ.
He made a good move. Birdie on 10 jumped him four spots up to T3 at even par.
Nice. But hole 11, did it claim any victims near the top?
It did. Unfortunately for Terry Hare, Hitman Hare, he had a triple bogey there. That dropped him back into that tie for third at even par. Brutal hole.
It really is. Paul Salvage and Jamie Bartlett also climbed nicely into T6 by this point. And the teams after 12.
Eurekas, despite Hare's trouble on 11, they actually solidified their lead. Moved to minus one.
Okay.
Behind them, Big Sticks and Swingers were tied for second at plus one. Shanks and Big Hook, who were near the top early, dropped back to T6.
Right. Moving into that crucial closing stretch. After 15 holes, we should mention hole 13 is statistically the easiest hole, a par four, averaging just under 4.5 strokes. A real chance to pick up a shot or two.
Yeah, a bit of respite, perhaps.
So who took advantage? And who maybe faltered between 12 and 15?
Well, our leader, Anthony Elisak, actually extended his lead. He got to minus five. Incredible scoring, even with a bogey on 14. His overall play was just superb through this stretch.
Minus five. He was pulling away.
Greg Hammond was trying to keep pace. He birdied 14 to get to minus four. Still right there, just one shot back, effectively in Stableford terms.
You're still close. So. What about the others?
Terry Hare steadied the ship after that triple on 11. He was still T3 at even par. Kelvin Monroe and Danny Innes also holding at even par in T3.
Anyone struggling?
Lee Merriweather, bullseye, the club captain. He had a tough couple holes. Double bogey on 14, bogey on 15. Dropped him back a bit. But a nice moment for Chris Stevens. He birdied the easy 13th.
Good for him. And the teams after 15.
Eureka still holding the lead, now at minus two. Big Sticks and two ballers, tied for second at even par, still very much up for grabs.
Okay, the tension must have been mounting. We arrive at the penultimate moment after 17 holes, and you just have to talk about hole 17.
Oh, hole 17, the drama hole.
Why do you say that?
Because it was the most blahed hole of the entire tournament. Eight players recorded a zero-pointer there. Eight. It's clearly a hole where things can unravel very, very quickly under pressure.
A real potential card wrecker late in the round. So did it deliver drama for the leaders?
It absolutely did. Unbelievable scenes. Anthony Elisak, our leader, he double bogeyed 17.
No, after playing so well.
Yep. But incredibly, even with that double, he still held the lead at minus five. Shows you how far ahead he'd gotten.
Wow. Okay. What about Hammond chasing him?
Hammond bogeyed 17, so he dropped back to minus three. Still in touch, but missed a chance to close the gap significantly.
Right. And Terry Hare?
Hitman Hare also double bogeyed 17, but was still hanging around at even par.
Kelvin Monroe?
Double bogey 17, dropped to plus one.
Danny Ince?
He birdied 16, looking good, then double bogeyed 17. It was carnage.
Even Suki Saran, on his birthday, double bogeyed 17. And Graham Marshall, Poundland Pete Wicks, he birdied 16, then blobbed 70.
It was just, yeah, chaos. The pressure on 17 was immense, and it just scattered the top of the leaderboard, made things incredibly tight going into the last hole.
That's just classic golf, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's when you think someone's running away with it.
The course bites back. It shows incredible mental fortitude for someone like Elisak to take that double bogey hit on 17 and still be leading.
Absolutely. It's that ability to just park it, move on to the next tee. So it all came down to the 18th. A par 5, stroke index 5. Not the hardest, not the easiest. A final test of nerve.
This is where championships are won or lost.
And what a finale it was.
Yeah.
Let's get to the final scores after 18 holes.
Yeah.
The winner, despite a blob on the 18th hole, Anthony Elisak held on. He clinches victory at -3.
Incredible. What a story. From that horror start, the comeback, holds on despite late wobbles. That's a champion's performance.
From came back from the dead to June Stableford champion. You couldn't write it.
Who grabbed second?
Terry Hare. Hitman Hare. He managed a bogey on 18, which was enough to secure a really solid second place finish at -1. Great round from him.
Fought hard all day. Excellent result.
And then the biggest heartbreak of the day, surely. Greg Hammond.
Oh no, what happened on 18?
A triple bogey on the last. Yeah. After being right there chasing the lead, that dropped him all the way down to third place, tied with Terry Hare at -1. Absolutely gutted for him.
Oh, that's brutal. To finish like that on a par 5 when you're in contention, golf can be cruel.
It really can. Kelvin Monroe, though, finished strong with a solid par on 18 to secure fourth place at even par.
Good finish for Kelvin.
And Paul Salvage kind of went about his business quietly but very effectively. A par on 18 sealed fifth place for him at +2. Consistent round.
Steady play rewarded. But that 18th hole, it sounds like it caused problems for more than just Hammond.
Oh, absolutely. The pressure cooker of the final hole. We saw a whole bunch of double bogeys or worse. Danny Enns, the club champ, Lee Merriweather, Bullseye, Dicko, Graham Marshall, Lokesh Patel, Ramesh, Dish, Dan Blatchford, poor Woody, Justin Gledhill, Carr, Simon Ford, yeah. All struggled badly on the last.
Wow, a lot of players finding trouble.
And for Steve Dixon and Simon Ford, it was particularly painful, a blob on the 18th to finish. Just a real whimper of an ending after battling all day. You just hate to see that.
It's the worst feeling, finishing around like that. But hey, any final hole heroics? Anyone finish with a flourish?
Yes. Let's give a shout out to Darren Reed, the ambassador, and Tom Whitelaw. Both of them managed fantastic birdies on 18. What a way to walk off the course. Great finish under pressure.
Brilliant. Love seeing that. Okay, so the dust has settled. Let's get the official rundown, the prize winners.
Right. Our champion, taking home £50 for first place, Anthony Elisak.
Richly deserved after that roller coaster.
Second place, claiming £30, Terry Hare.
Excellent runner-up finish.
Third place, despite the tough finish, collecting £20, Greg Hammond.
Still a podium finish. Great effort.
And fourth place, earning £5, Kelvin Monroe.
Solid round, rewarded.
Now, the all-important team results. This is where those partnerships and wildcard picks really mattered.
Who took the team crown?
Eurekas, captained by Terry Hare. They clinched the top spot with 74 points, earning the winning team prize money.
Nice. Who were their key contributors?
Terry Hare himself led the way with a massive 40 points. He was their designated wildcard, so his score was crucial. Jamie Bartlett backed him up brilliantly with 34 points. Both Terry and Jamie pick up £5 each for that team win.
Fantastic team effort. Who was second?
Two ballers, captained by our individual winner, Anthony Elisak. They finished with 71 points. Elisak, as their wild card, scored a huge 42 points, with Chris Stevens adding 29.
So close.
And third? Also on 71 points, Big Sticks, captained by Suki Saran. Kelvin and Rowe was their wild card with 39 points, and Suki himself added 32.
Okay, so two ballers pipped Big Sticks for second, presumably on countback.
Must have been. Then we had swingers in fourth with 69 points, Paul Salvage 37, and Lee Merriweather 32 contributing there.
Mm-hmm.
Balls Deep finished fifth with 66 points, Graham Marshall 34, and Danny Endis 32. Regular Flex sixth on 65 points, Ben Pettit 33, and David Washer 32.
Right.
Shanks and Big Hook seventh with 63 points, Steve Dixon 32, and Darren Reed 31. And finally, Bogey Boys eighth with 40 points, which was all Greg Hammond scores their wild card.
Right. Okay. Now, let's dive into some of those fascinating competition stats. They always tell a deeper story.
They really do. Best front nine. Well, no prizes for guessing this one. Anthony Elisak, with that incredible surge, took it with 21 points.
Makes sense after his comeback. What about the back nine? Who finished strongest?
This was interesting. A five-way tie for the best back nine with 19 points. Terry Hare, Greg Hammond, Kelvin Monroe, Paul Salvage, and Jamie Bartlett all showed great resilience and consistency coming home. That's impressive consistency from all five. Best gross score, pure striking. That went to the club champion, Danny Innes, a score of 78. Very tidy indeed.
Class act. How about the specialists? Best on the par threes.
Another tie. Greg Hammond, Paul Salvage, Lee Merriweather, Dicko, and the ambassador all played the short holes in 14 strokes, just two over par collectively.
Very solid on the tricky threes and the par fives. Who feasted on the long holes?
Tom Whitelaw. Played the par fives in 20 strokes, which is level par. Great power and accuracy there.
Excellent scoring on the fives. Most birdies.
Danny Innes again. Three birdies were better, finding those scoring opportunities.
Okay, now for the swings. Biggest back nine improvement. Who turned it around after the turn?
Two players stood out here. Darren Reed, the ambassador, and Chris Stevens. Both were a massive 5 points better on the back nine compared to their front nine. That's finishing strong.
Really digging deep. And the flip side? Biggest back nine collapse? Where did the wheels perhaps come off a bit?
Well, interestingly, it was our champion, Anthony Elisak and Paul Wood, Woody. Both were 3 points worse on the back nine than the front.
Wow, even the winner found the back nine tougher. Shows you the pressure, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. Now, looking at the course itself, easiest hole.
That was hole 13, the par four, averaged just 4.48 strokes. A definite birdie chance.
And the hardest hole. No suspense here, I imagine.
None at all. Hole 11, that par four, stroke index one, averaged a punishing 5.8 strokes, nearly two shots over par. A real beast.
And finally, most blobbed hole. Where did most players come unstuck with a zero-pointer?
Hole 17, eight blobs recorded there, exactly where we saw all that late drama unfold for the leaders. The stats don't lie.
They certainly paint a picture. So, connect all this back for us. How do these June Stableford results shake up the overall LIB standings for the season?
Right, this is crucial for the season-long race. Shanks and Big Hook, despite maybe a quieter event here, they actually maintain their lead overall with 64 points.
Yeah, so he's still top.
Swingers are holding on to second place with 56 points, but the big movers are Eurekas. Their victory here vaults them into third place with 50 points. Shows how one good event can really impact the standings.
Definitely a big jump for them.
Then it's tight again. Balls Deep and Two Ballers are tied for fourth on 49 points. Big Sticks are just behind on 47 points. Bogey Boys move up a bit to 42 points. And Regular Flex are currently eighth on 39 points.
So it's still all to play for in the season-long competition. Every event matters.
Absolutely. Consistency is key. But as Eureka showed today, one big win can change everything.
What a fantastic narrative that was. Following the June Stableford from those early holes right through to the nail-biting finish on 18, we saw comebacks, collapses, moments of brilliance, moments of sheer frustration.
The full golfing roller coaster.
It really was. From Elisak's incredible win from a tough spot to Hammond's unfortunate finish. It just highlights the wild unpredictability of this game. Mental strength is just as vital as a good swing.
It truly is. And watching this kind of dynamic hole-by-hole battle unfold, it does make you think, doesn't it? What does this tell us about handling pressure, about strategy, about finding resilience when things go wrong? You know, thinking about those make-or-break moments, those fine margins. What lessons can you, listening right now, take away from this deep dive, perhaps even apply beyond the golf course?
A great thought to ponder. Well, that brings us to the end of this deep dive into the LIB Tour's June Stableford. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, keep swinging.
Young Terry Hare was a man with a dream to captain the finest LIB Tour winning team. He started with Smithy and Henry tacked on, then added in Jamie and positive John. The team members final, they won't be denied. Now what should he call them? I've got it, he cried. Eurekas, 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 that's us. We'll hoover up prizes with minimal fuss. We'll rise up the rankings, it won't be that hard. With these guys all scoring and me as wild card. Terry was bullish, you can see in his grin. He knows they're a shoo-in and certain to win. It's all coming together, it only feels right. Thanks for the winnings, now buy me a pint. Eurekas, 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 you'll see. Our handicaps mean we're a points guarantee. We're rating the LIB Tour, this small chosen band. Sombreros on heads and a putter.